Good morning. Welcome to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. This is Paula Granquist. I want to thank you so much for joining us for the show that celebrates creating and stories. Let's get ready to tune our imaginations together. I want to welcome you also to the season of gratitude and peace. Let's just sit with those two words for a moment. Gratitude and peace. Glorious words. Words of the holidays. And I type those words, and there are two things that come to my mind. Many of you out there in Radioland are driving to go shopping and get great deals on this day after Thanksgiving. And we as humans are creatures that need to balance our daily needs and desires with the big questions of the world. It's impossible to be alive and spend every day pondering the big questions of life on this earth. And the second thing I think about is this question. Is there only a season of gratitude and peace? Why can't every day be a day of motion toward a more grateful and peaceful world? How do we in this moment create a better world full of gratitude and peace? Well, we might turn to the advice we often tell our kids. Look for the helpers. When we feel that sense of trouble, look for the helpers. Look for the thinkers, the writers, and the art makers. Join their journey, and then I hope that you will create your own journey thinking about these big questions of life. And of course, enjoy your imagination along the way. Today in the Art Zany Radio Studio, I'm thrilled because we've got two of those people in the studio with us to help us with this idea of thinking about bigger things in life and making sense of all the questions. I'm joined in the studio today with filmmaker Paul Krause. And go ahead.
Good to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. And a sculptor and poet, Matt Gimsey, to discuss the new documentary, Striving for Peace on Horizon's Brim, the sculpture and poetry of Matt Gimsey. It's going to be a brand new documentary. It's premiering Monday, the 2nd of December, 2024 at 7 p.m. at the Carlton White Center Theater. And so I'm excited for all of you to get that on your calendar. Striving for Peace on Horizon's Brim is a kinetic interactive sculpture created by St. Olaf Professor Emeritus of Art, A. Malcolm, otherwise known to all of us as Mac Gimsey, and it serves as an emblem of hope for peace among humans, all living things, and with the earth. The initial idea for Striving Peace on Horizon's Brim and a poem by Gimsey of the same name originated with the 2009 Upper Midwest Nobel Peace Prize Forum held at St. Olaf College. It's commissioned to create sculpture and poetry for the Nobel laureates. Gimsey's artistic focus turned to issues of human rights, climate change, poverty, disease, and other ongoing challenges to humankind. So this is a big project and really exciting, and I'm so delighted to have both of you here today. I thought I would start, because both of you have such these vast resumes and, you know, giant, expansive accomplishments. So when someone asks you about your work and your life's passion, how do you describe yourself? What do you say when someone says, what is it you do?
Well, I think what I have been responding when people say, so what is it that you're about? I consider myself a witness. I witness for the community. I witness mostly artistic expression, creativity. And so that's my role, the role of the witness, the observer. And then I try to bring some skill and artistry to the process of editing and combining various elements to create something that I hope is expressive of the beauty around us, really. It's the beautiful that, to me, is the most important thing. The beautiful is what gives us access to the universe. When I work with Mac and see all the beauty that he has created, he gives us access to something important and universal. So that's me, the witness.
That's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Wow. And I think that does describe what you do, because you've done documentaries now for decades and featured some of our great artists and folks in this community. And you always highlight the subject and are often, you're the creator behind the lens.
Well, it's interesting. I think of Fred Somers and Ray Jacobson. Ray, I did the very first long-form documentary, was Harvest, a community history founded in bronze featuring the bronze piece that's on River Walk. And one of the interesting things I remember with Fred and Ray saying is that, you know, it's not about me. It's what I do. It's what I express. And I say, you know, what you express is you.
Mm.
You are that piece of sculpture. You are that beautiful painting. And that's what ignites the interest in me, in them, as artistic expressors of the creative urge.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of the people that I've followed, including the wonderful Northfield High School students that I captured on Rain on Mars, that documentary. Yeah. I mean, our community is rich with expressive creatives, and that's just been what I've been searching for and found again here in my partner, Matt Gimsey, who is just a marvel of expressiveness.
I'm so glad I asked you that question and didn't have the standard information that's on about the accomplishments, because you put it into perspective in a richer way and a more meaningful way of the your work, and that makes perfect sense. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So Mac, what do you say when somebody asks, what is your life's passion, your work? I mean, you've been teaching and making sculpture and poetry and all kinds of things.
Well, first I have to say, wow, to follow Paul, whom I admire in so many ways, but what happens when Paul aims his video camera at you and at your work, the aesthetic that results is beyond anything I can achieve on my own. And this, to me, is colleagueship and collaboration of a type that I find utterly remarkable in the whole community of Northfield in this whole area. Since 1970, I've been really thrilled with the kind of collaboration that I've had. And I grew up in Minot, North Dakota, and to this day, I have delusions of adequacy that follow me wherever I go. And I find myself in groups of people and with encouragement to continue and to create this kind of poetry and art. It didn't occur to me that I would be building anything larger than my own body. So most everything was cast in bronze, in several thousand bronzes over time. That was my job at St. Olaf, to work in the foundry. And I always said that when I looked into the 2,000-degree furnace, I was getting a glimpse of my afterlife. So I had to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you go through sweat and nerve-wracking moments. You lift a 200-pound crucible out of that furnace with 2,000-degree metal, and you pour it into a 6-inch diameter cup. And if you are not willing to take the danger, the heat, and the toil, you do not get the finished result. And in this case, every bronze that comes out requires all of that effort to get it there. It was such a great lesson to me on how to create things and have the patience and then rely on other people to be involved in creating an aesthetic that goes beyond what I intended. And I have to say, this documentary that it's at least 6 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've been working on this. To have someone like Paul keeping an eye on what I'm doing as I go through each of the stages of different pieces that are in this documentary, it does tell me that I need to focus on what the basic issues are. And, for example, On Horizon's Brim begins with the concept that our future is still ahead to hold. So always with a degree of optimism in that. And when it was set to music for the St. Olaf Choir, which is the conclusion of this wonderful documentary, when it was sung in 2020 in Carnegie Hall in New York City, Anton Armstrong, bless his heart, invited Ralph Johnson and me to be there. And it just humbles me to even be in the presence of that kind of aesthetic that takes place. And you really have to believe when this documentary is shown on that huge screen in the site center with the sound, that's when it all comes to life in a way I cannot accomplish on my own. I'm sorry I keep dwelling on that.
I think it's a beautiful arc, and I think it does show that in the film. And I want to ask you, Paul, you had to know a long time ago that you wanted to do this film, because some of the pieces are from years ago when Mac was presenting things or speaking about some of his work.
Right. Well, I've known Mac for quite a while, and he was also a good friend of Ray Jacobson, and it was kind of after I did even Harvest way back when I encountered this man over at 50 North in the gym, and I thought, this is such a charming man. I wanted to know more about him, and as it was all revealed. To the observer, the witness, it became clear that I wanted to, as I have done for most of my pieces, I've started at the very beginning of the creative process, and I want to follow the arc of creation from the very beginning to the completion, installation. That's what I did with Ray Jacobson. That's what I did with Fred Somers. That's what I did with the kids at the high school. I wanted to be there for the entire process and see how they struggle with the process. And to me, some of the most beautiful moments are when the artist is struggling and thinking, oh, how am I going to get this done? And when you, in this particular sculpture, this huge 25-foot sculpture, I mean, he didn't do this all on his own. To be there and to see the workers, the people that actually constructed it, and see their commitment and their passion in perfection. I mean, it was almost overwhelming how beautiful it was. The whole process. It's not just the final, it's not the painting, it's not the sculpture as much as it is this wonderful arc of creativity and all of its dimensions and the struggle and the tension and how those tensions are resolved. So you've got a lot to work with. I mean, if you follow it from the beginning, you have an awful lot to work with. Yeah. And since we, 6 years or more, roughly, from the beginning, it's been an incredible journey. And I'd like to think that what has come out of it is just an expression of that joy and that passion that Mac brings to his work.
So. Well, and one thing I noticed in both of the your careers are there's some deep spiritual elements to both of your work. And did that make it easier for you, Mac, to work with Paul to be able to highlight some of those elements?
Definitely. And I meant to say, God of art and life and creative laughter, of dancing arms and dazzling color fragments, twirl us onto heights of dreaming that our future is still ahead to hold. There's verse one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I dream up these things, but then I don't know where to put it after that. And the minute he heard any of this in his studio, he made this into a short piece. And I thought, I think it is coming to life. And I should preface this a little bit. Over the course of time, coming to St. Olaf, I was happy to teach the history of world architecture, where someone said, do you know anything about the Taj Mahal? And I said, well, I've studied what I could. And so they said, okay, we're going to send you there with students.
Wow.
So... my course was Monuments to Power and Faith in the World. And normally about 30 students, and Jackie and I made 35 trips around the world in 45 years. Mm. And it was, I did not see that coming. I did not see the sculpture coming. There's so many things you don't realize when you're in a community that has the values that Paul is talking about. Things happen that go way beyond the way you plan it. And so I don't fight that. But the beauty that comes out of it is essentially the reason that we make this happen. And these students are, I've had 30 groups come since September 16 of last year to visit Horizon on premises. This summer there was a conference in July. I had sessions with pastors and church people from all over the USA come there, and we made things that they could take back to their congregations. And the extension of all of this is really important, and especially the key piece of all of the sculpture is there is a color column of life under which there's a brown pedestal that says, "Please spin gently with kindness in your hand and heart." And to watch people come and spin that and really have to contain that message, because kindness cannot stand against violence. The kindness is what we saw in every Nobel Peace Prize laureate who came to campus.
That's such an important piece of the puzzle, that maybe that's where it begins, is just the kindness and seeing each other and, you know, spending time together. And I think this film is just really a lovely encapsulation of some of those ideas. And, you've worked with many of the artists in our community. Both of you have been great leaders and mentors in our community. And probably both of you could have lived anywhere, right? You've traveled the world.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And so I find it interesting that we are lucky to be able to have both of you here.
Yeah.
And so I'd love you to speak to that. What does it mean to be in Northfield?
Oh, it's huge for me. I came in 79 to set up a studio. I was at that time I was certified as a string instrument repair person. So I had just down the street above the old antique store, Donovan Parker's old antique, and right above that, I had a studio, and it was. I got to know the people in the other business people in town. See, now this is something, if you Northfield has one street, right? We have Division, and then we have about two blocks of that. So it's very contained, but the community that starts there and expands throughout the larger community, it's really a vital and exciting place to be as a business person, for example, because you visit with all the other, and it's just, there's a richness. And it didn't take long for me to decide, I'm never leaving this place. I don't have to go anywhere in the I don't know anywhere in the world. There's probably, there are marvelous places to be, for sure, and people find them. But I'm so happy to be here. I have no intention. They'll have to carry me out. If they say. So and meeting people like Mac and Fred Somers and Ray Jacobson and all those great high school students, doing the documentary on the Japanese Garden at Carleton, mm-hmm. in Full Circle. That was a great thrill. Bardwell Smith. An absolute gem of a human being, basically created this garden out of his own passion, and so it's been you just keep running into people that are doing amazing things. It's not hard,
That says something. And for you, Mac, too, because you've traveled the world many times, and you've met with many, many people, but your base is here.
Truly. And I am in the class of 58 at St. Olaf, so I've had my 65th reunion.
Wow.
And so that does put me in a aging class I'd never expected to reach in this lifetime. But the beauty of that is I came here because I wanted to go to seminary. So I took all the religion courses, the Greek and everything that I had to qualify, and then I changed my mind because I took Christian ethics, and there was such a world out there that needed help in so many different ways. And just so you know, I shortly after that, I applied for a fellowship to go to Japan to spend a year in a sasshin to meditate. Mm-hmm. And I was becoming a Buddhist. Well, then I met Jackie, and we got married a year later. And 2 years after we were married, she said, "It will not hurt you to take an art course." Because I was always doing something and making a mess, you know, and creating things.
Yeah.
And I was studying philosophy at the U in grad school. So, yeah, that sent me in a whole new trajectory that I never saw coming. And when I finished at the University of Iowa, there was a job to create an entirely new art department at the University of Lethbridge,
Alberta,
Canada. Where that's his point of origin.
Where I was born in Lethbridge.
Oh my gosh! Wow, yeah, what a strange little connection.
Yeah, right. And there was nothing but Quonset huts, and it was really the scrappiest thing, and it was tremendous. We loved it there. I was ready to stay for life. And I got a call from John Mockestad at St. Olaf, who had some connections with people who knew me, and he asked me, "Are you interested in living in a warmer climate?"
Slightly warm.
Yeah.
And it was way below zero, the wind chill in Lethbridge, and I flew here and it was 10 above.
Oh.
And I said, "Where do I start?"
That was warm.
But I already had a basic knowledge of the kind of education that was being offered at St. Olaf, and I wanted to be in that liberal arts environment. Mm-hmm. And from there on, you know how it is. You've taught a lot of different things in your career too,
mm-hmm.
And yeah, I admire that. And so they had me doing great conversations at Pierre College, any place and every place, because I was really excited about this whole liberal arts scheme, and I saw these students blossoming in the art classes. They were coming to life, and bright kids.
Mm-hmm.
After Jackie and I took our first trip abroad, we said, "If we don't like these students, we're never going again." Guess what?
Did they know they had that pressure?
So, and then the other side of this is I've been kind of dabbling in poetry for a long time. And in 1989, when the Peace Prize Forum was set up at St. Olaf, I was overseas, and they sent a message asking if I would create a bronze for the Nobel laureates. And I said, "Yes, okay, I'll try that." And then they said, "Well, can you write something about the bronze?" And then came the first piece of poetry. I thought, okay, if I use poetry, they can't fault me on the facts.
Isn't that the beauty of art?
I did not expect to hear that from you.
And in the meantime, of course, it would be an aesthetic view that I would be developing the whole time I'm making the piece. Hmm. So that by the time the piece is done, the poetry is standing so much in hand-to-hand with that that I can't imagine separating them. You know?
I didn't know that, the history of that. That's very fascinating.
Yeah. So there is this real tight connection between the sculpture and the poetry.
Yeah. Yes.
And I tried to bring that out in the documentary, too, so that you get a chance to hear him read, and at the same time you see the piece and you see the connection. It's really remarkable.
Yeah, I was really pleased to see that, because hearing in your voice, Mac, the words that you've written is, you can read it, but it doesn't have the same effect. There's something really powerful about what you bring to the piece and put into the reading of it that makes it absolutely beautiful. And there's some really interesting video storytelling techniques, I guess I would say, in this film. And did you work together on that? How did you create those images?
I'm an independent producer.
Mm-hmm.
I really cannot. When doing these projects, it's pretty much I sit there in my studio and just choose. And I don't ask other people for their opinion. One of the things I learned early on is that if you ask someone for an opinion, they feel compelled to give you one.
You're
and
correct.
It's usually, and they're almost always different. And you can be led around by the opinion nose, and it's not good. So anyway, so I just get all of the material and just start to think what fits with what. Is it part of the creative arc? Is it a little aspect of that historically? Like, I've featured several of his other sculptures mm-hmm. in the piece mm-hmm. because I thought we're kind of building the creative process from the past work, and now we're coming into this most current work. So we finish with we finish the arc, but there's a time in the beginning where we're looking at various things. So we get a feel for this man's talent.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you see this massive sculpture, and you're going, oh, my, it's huge, but it's so beautiful. Anyway, so it, you know, that is a key piece of the tie between the word and the way things are expressed in material form. It's a really interesting relationship, and it's unusual. This is a very unusual human being here that can tie those, that can create those verbal expressions that resonate with what you're seeing and feel, and going up and touching and feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, it's magical.
Well, I would really like a chance to say, for 2 years, from August 2017 to August 2019, I was flying regularly to Lincoln. And I was using Greg Buck's frequent flyer miles from his business and spending the day. And we worked on the computer, going from the model, the 4-foot model, all the way up. And they actually created a 12-foot version to make sure that when they doubled it, they would have everything in place. I mean, this is a tremendous company. And they had 1,000 color options. And so, I mean, everything, every square inch of that piece has something of significance in a technical way that I could not achieve on my own. And guess who flew with me twice at least,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, twice. Yeah, we went down.
And part of this film that he has dedicates time to the TMCO, Metal Plus Arts Division, to give their story of how this all came together. And they had devoted all kinds of energy and extra ways of doing things to make sure this came out with the vision that we were presenting them.
Right. Yeah. And I just want to mention one name, and that's Roland Temme.
Yeah.
He was the CEO. His daughter is now the CEO, but he was the CEO at the time. And what a commitment to excellence. The finest detail on this massive piece. I just cannot imagine how committed they were to just making it sing.
And I think that's probably one of my favorite parts of the documentary is seeing that in action, how they're creating that. And folks, if you're just tuning in, this is Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. I'm here with Paul Krause and Matt Gimsey. We're talking about the documentary premiere, Striving for Peace on Horizon's Brim, the Sculpture and Poetry of Matt Gimsey. That's going to be on Monday, the 2nd of December, 2024 at 7 p.m. at the Carleton College White Center Theater. It's a chance to see the documentary, as you mentioned earlier, Mac, in that on the big full screen, something you won't get a chance to see anywhere else. And it's I think it's going to be a pretty spectacular viewing, and I encourage people to put that on their calendars and make a point to come and see it on that with a group of people and with that beautiful screen. What are you hoping that folks, you know, I know, maybe I'll ask you, Mac, what you saw when you put it all together and saw your life before you. And for you, Paul, what are you hoping that the audience takes away from watching this documentary? So we'll start with you, Paul.
Well, I think the notion striving for peace. I think this is one of the hallmarks of Mac's work historically, has been from the Peace Prize sculptures.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so it's, you know, it's... Well, on horizon's brim. I love that. I love the words. It's just, you can see the horizon. Just, we're striving for peace, and it's just beyond the horizon.
Yeah.
It's just over there. We, you know, sort of, we shall overcome someday. And there is on horizon's brim there. We're striving for that peace. And I think that's what I hope that people come away with, is a sense of peace, of and a sense of the striving that's involved as artists, because I think all artists are striving, constantly working through, you know, over challenges and working around, and you know, making art is. Is zany, as they say. You've got to be just a little zany.
Yeah, I think so. right.
So that's what I hope they come away with.
And how did it feel for you, Mac, to see the piece of, you know, those years of your work unfold in this way? And what are you thinking about when you are thinking of people also watching this?
Well, the first thing I want to say is Paul started this documentary off perfectly by showing me in my garage working with chunks of metal, and my garage is not, it's for cars and piling other things up, but it took me right to the baseline of how I work.
Mm-hmm.
And I made that dove so many times with cardboard wings and on. Nobody knows the amount of work that goes into creating an idea and making the art. And I feel the same about the documentary that he's produced. He really worked on this to get all of these different flashings of things going on. And you honestly don't know where it's going to take you. The beauty goes to places you don't expect. And I'm not sure how to even say this in a couple of minutes, but the Arts Endowment Fund that was established last year for people to think about a striving for peace garden with that sculpture in mind, but also any other things that fit into the realm of fine arts being an influence on society. The first endowment was for the indigenous feast, the feast that is today, that will be in the Art Barn, and it's bringing together people from the I'm not going to say this quite right. You can blank me out when you have to. I want the Art Barn to be, if possible, an indigenous cultural center for the Wapakut, who have occupied this land. But this is bringing together the playwright and actors from Canada. Mm. And Sarah Pulaski-Warhaza has been wanting to do something like this for a long time, but there just weren't funds available. And the endowment came along with what she needed. And so we are going to perform the act of giving gifts with gratitude, the Waputa, which I practiced as a very young man, as a Boy Scout, in the reservation in Saanich, North Dakota, not realizing it would follow me. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm getting goosebumps here, because this is, so she invited me to come to the feast. Well, I'm done. Thanks.
Well, and we should let people know that this is a sculpture you can go visit.
Yes,
We should tell people a little bit. It's on the campus of the St. Olaf College. Yeah, how do people...
Just look for Big Ole, as they call it.
Big Ole.
The big windmill.
Oh, the turbine.
Big turbine. It's right in next to it.
I didn't know they called it that.
Which is a very strange location, but it's still very lovely. It's referred to as Big Ole. So you just look for Big Ole and then take the road down past the Art Barn, and the Art Barn is now located down there too.
Yeah,
so it's an interesting space, but it's well worth your your trip down there to see it is quite remarkable.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing I've always been impressed with you, Mac, is that you have always, when you've presented or talked about your work, you've said, please touch this. Yeah. Come look and engage. Yeah. And that's been a really important part of your artwork. Yeah. And even with this sculpture, too, it's something where people can interact. Yeah. How come that became a central part of your artwork?
Well, when I was very young, and we visited people, I would go around their house touching everything, but I wouldn't harm anything. My mother had to reassure them that I was gentle and I was just exploring. And I didn't realize that. Well, as time went by, I would go into a museum, and they would come and say, if you touch that, we're going to cut your hand off at the wrist. And I said, okay, well, I just have to learn how to sew it back on. And as I created these bronzes, I would put them on a stand that would turn because they're three-dimensional. And nobody that I knew was really willing to walk around a stand to look at it. But if they could turn it, and I thought, okay, if they can turn it, and I made it by touching until it got hot. And so there are two things that can happen. One, they can have the same sensation that I had as I was putting some of these forms on, and they can polish it for me.
Ah, I love that story because I had kind of a similar experience where I was at a museum and I didn't see that there was like this line on the ground, and I put my toe on the line, and I thought that I had just committed, the world's worst, crime. And I don't think that art should be that way, that art should be for us to engage with. Now, granted, you have to take precautions for some pieces of art. But there, to put it in such a separation, like we are all a part of art. And so I really appreciate that about your work.
Well, then, I do, by the way, offer anybody and everybody, churches, schools, community places, I will meet them at the site and let them know what they need to know, but also show them, run your hands over these curves.
Yeah.
And I've got a color exercise that they do where the colors all change when you blink your eyes at them. And so, there's so much to be aware of. And I use what I call a DIE, D-I-E, not D-E-I, description, interpretation, evaluation. First of all, you really need to look at any work of art and describe what it is you see, not do I want that over my Davenport. And then you interpret what's there, and then you evaluate, oh, yes, I do really want that piece. And this is, I taught this for over 20 years in the fine arts major at St. Olaf with three other professors. It makes such a difference when you teach students this. All of a sudden, they can see something that they weren't even looking for.
That's right.
And crossing that line, poof, do you know what it was you were...
I don't remember the piece I was looking at. No, I just remember the... Which is terrible, right? That I remember the moment.
Sure. No. That's how it goes.
I think what Mac just mentioned is about teaching them how to see. Mm-hmm. Because I think that is, in my experience... And I think this enters into the spiritual realm as well, because it is part of the soul's experience, which is to see... As what I've mentioned before, beauty is to see beauty. And beauty, as it turns out, is everywhere. Everywhere. Mm. And when you see something beautiful, linger with it. Don't walk by, don't run away. Linger with it, look at it, just this way and that. And then when you turn around, everything is beautiful. Mm. This is a magic moment, and I try to cultivate this.
That's the piece people often miss. So talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, it's so important. As I was walking down, I focused on one thing that I thought was beautiful, and of course it's a natural object. It's a tree, okay, but it's where the tree has been cut. A limb has been cut off, and it's grown over, and it's created this round, which has got texture and inner. And I said, okay, now that is a portal. That's an opening. So let's look at every tree as we walk along and look for the portals on the tree. Well, you don't notice them when you're just cruising by, but when you actually see one, oh, then you see two, three, four, five, six, seven, and all of a sudden you see that all of these trees are expressing opportunity for the human to enter into a deeper connection with the natural world. Because the tree is calling. It's calling you. It's nature is constantly calling us to pay attention, because it's a gift that's free and open to everyone. And if you can just take a moment, stop. This is key. You must stop and just let it sit for just 30 seconds, and then begin to look around you, and all will be revealed. If you become sensitized, it's so simple, and yet you probably heard of the Japanese cultural forest bathing,
mm-hmm.
where you go into the forest and you feel the forest bathing, you're bathing in the forest, and to me I love that. I love that expression, because that's what's happening. You can walk down the street. Just walking around Northfield, you can get that same feeling.
I was just thinking about that, how important that is to pause, right? That's what the key is. Because even if you're out there doing that shopping or, you know, doing the daily stuff, figuring out what's for dinner, going to the dentist, running your errands, taking care of all your life's business, you can have those moments in those times too.
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to necessarily, it can be a part of a, you know, walk in the woods, but it can also be a moment in your path wherever it takes you.
Well, we are nature. Human beings are nature. And human beings are calling you to observe and to enter in. And so when I see, particularly I see little 3-4-year-olds, and they're just kind of exuberant, and they're totally out of, they don't care about who's watching or whatever, they're just being joyful and expressive. To me, it's like, oh my God, there's beauty. And then when you focus in on that, and then you look around, and those beautiful children are everywhere. It's just a slight tuning that has to happen. Adjust the knob and tune in, because when you do tune in, the messages that you hear will be profound.
And I think that's some of what your work, Mac, does. One of the lines I wrote down, you were talking this at the sculpture, I think it was the dedication that you were at for Striving for Peace on Horizon's Brim, and you talked about looking up at the top, I believe it was, where you talked about peace taking off and love landing. And I thought, wow, what a good mantra that is. So if you could tell our listeners a little bit more of, you know, what's in the sculpture that gave you that reference. And I mean, he has visual aids. You'll have to describe them.
Well, and I'm only holding this up because one head is up, one beak is up. It has two beaks.
So it's a dove.
Instead of a tail, there's another beak. And so, and this is from our backyard in Dundas, seeing the birds take off. And the whole concept with this is that, I'm proposing that somehow we make 1,000 of these and distribute them around the globe so that any moment of the day or night, there is somebody who is spinning the double dove of peace and love with kindness in their hand and heart. And however that gets done, but this is my next project. See, I don't stop.
Didn't think you stopped.
and I don't plan that how to do it. There are some people looking at it, But the TMCO now is inventing a dozen or 10 different ways of doing this, and we'll see how it comes out. I just want to stay around long enough to see something else happen. But I've got these sitting around the house, and our seven grandchildren come in and out, and they are spinning everything. Hmm. And that's the whole idea, that if this is in stainless steel, sitting on the desk, and somebody comes into your room and they spin this, and you explain to them that they have been spinning the Dove of Peace, you have a whole different immediate relationship with them that is beyond words. Yeah.
And so that's a came from, and this is also something I love, and I think what your film does so well, all the different films that you've done, is that arc, right, of this piece wouldn't be possible, this project wouldn't be possible without having to do the, now we've got another visual aid. Okay, so.
No, it's okay.
having to, you know, built that story, right, that takes you, and you get to show that to us, and that's very inspiring to see it unfold.
Yeah, I hope it is. I think that's one of the goals of any artist, is to inspire.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes inspiration comes through challenging people's views of the world, and so there are many pieces of art that are provocative, and I think that is a great. That is an entry point for the artist to make an expression of the creative expression is to be provoking. I'm not so much a provocative artist. I'm more of a revealer. I try to sort of part the curtains and let you see behind the scenes. How is it all the different people that are involved in the process of realization? I mean, there's the moment of inspiration, but then there's the realization, which it's quite remarkable when you think about it, that we have this 25-foot-tall sculpture made out of stainless steel. Mm-hmm. Now, this is not just, you know, iron. This is stainless steel, and this will outlast many, many generations of human beings. But it's, you know, it's... There's something remarkable about just the process of the physical process of creation, but then the whole spiritual and aesthetic aspect of it, which you know, it's easier for some of us to latch onto, but that's, you know, it's just anyone will get something from this.
Well, and you mentioned something really important there, which is it's easy sometimes to have the ideas. And it's easy to have that spark of, oh, I see what that tree looks like, and it's, you know, leading me to this idea of portals, and I wonder where that's going to take me. But then to actually get from the inspiration to the actual, you know, building of the sculpture and deciding the colors and thinking about the curves and how it manipulates and how it moves and where it's going to be placed, that I think is the hardest part of being an artist. So how do you decide, Mac, what you want to work on each day, and how do you, you know, make sure that those projects get from that idea stage to the manifestation?
Wow, boy, that is and it is a key question. For one thing, the term aesthetic in German is Einfühlung, which means feeling oneself into. And it's very important that you interpret it that way, because it does mean, if you are to benefit, as Paul has described it beautifully, the aesthetic must be there. And the other word that I use is compassion, cum patior, to suffer with. Mm. That if you are in a situation where you see there is suffering, you do whatever you can to address what that means. And I have to say, Dr. Albert Schweitzer is my mentor from 1952, when he got the Nobel Peace Prize with his Reverence for Life, where he said, I have the will to live. Others also have the will to live. And whatever I do in my life, I must show them respect, and whether or not they show the same to me. And that's such a tough requirement to be human. I mean, whoa, you got to really be a lot stronger than I am. But my father was a pipe organ enthusiast, and we had his pipe organ music playing in our house. I never, ever let go of that admonition. So it's hard to know how that transfers, other than the fact that I've always got a piece of paper with something drawing on it, and there's always a poem unfolding, sometimes from the lower left to the upper right, you know, upside down, backwards. Yeah. E. E. Cummings is a hero. You explore in all these different regions verbally, and then once something is written, you pronounce it until the syllables are going to find a note, a musical note. And so the band director, Tim Marr, and Anton Armstrong had me come and recite to them the poetry so that the syllables matched the notes. And what a great experience. I mean, I was so nervous I could barely open my mouth. But that's also that energy that goes into the performance. There is the performance, and this is what this guy... You really should take time to go to his website and listen to him sing and play his guitar, because I have spent many a late evening listening to my friend. Okay.
Well, and that's DancingSunMedia.com?
Yeah, okay. Dancing Sun Media, yeah. Good. Well, one thing I want to mention, and I think this is very important, is that this project... this wonderful sculpture would never have been made possible without the support of Greg Buck,
yeah,
who was a regent of St. Olaf, mm-hmm, and just so happened to go on one of the tours with Mr. Gimsey and was somewhat entranced by what he saw and heard, and came forward and basically financed the entire project. So this is what you also need too. I mean, you need people in the background, but mm-hmm, who are supporting and sustaining. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about giving to the arts, I mean, we do need those resources too. Mm-hmm. I have benefited from the Southeast Minnesota arts grants. Anyway, it just really remarkable person, people involved,
I think said is it's a surprise of how you don't know which interaction is going to lead you down your next road, what conversation, what encounter, you have to be out in the world experiencing things, but then you also have to have the discipline to go back to wherever you make your art and to work on translating that into, to moving it through you.
Yeah, Paul, you really mentioned something important here. Greg and Lisa Buck were with Jackie and me when I taught El Camino from San Sebastiano to...
Spain. What do they call that?
El Camino is,
a walking trail for...
Pilgrimage.
Pilgrimage,
trail. And so that group came to our house, of course, one time or another, and he saw the Dundas piece. And when it was sitting in my backyard, it wasn't put up yet. And he said, "Oh, is that for sale?" And I said, "Well, someday Dundas can have it. It's for them." And he said, "Okay, what else have you got?" Well, the other side to this, it's so remarkable. He was on a business trip with Roland Timmy of TMCO because they worked together. And they happened to be in Oslo when the St. Olaf Choir was singing.
Oh, my goodness.
They went to the choir concert, and from that year on, Roland and his wife, Hiroko, came to St. Olaf for the Christmas concert. And so, okay, do I schedule that? No. And so, it's the human connection. What I like to say is in a spiritual realm, because you don't find it an itinerary or a daily schedule. It doesn't work that way. And then I always love to hang out with people who are just so enormously creative, because things do go beyond what I intend them to be, and so I just trail along. You know, I know it feels like Paul is giving me way more credit than I deserve, because I don't think that way. But at the same time, I really understand the aesthetic that we're both working on. And I'm so glad that I wound up in Northfield, because, oh my.
And I'm so glad that we had this time to visit. Our time is winding down, and I just want to make sure people mm-hmm. know that the premiere, so this is the world, we'll call it the world premiere, yes, of Striving for Peace on Horizon's Brim, the Sculpture and Poetry of Mac Gimsey, Monday the 2nd of December at 2024 at 7 p.m. And if you're listening and you maybe this is a rebroadcast and you missed it, it's going to be posted on YouTube.
Yeah, I'll release it after that premiere.
Perfect.
So it'll be available on my YouTube channel, also on my website. So there will be access. Also, Twin Cities Public Television is just now considering whether to put it on their air as well. So I'm pretty sure they broadcast the previous four documentaries, so I'm pretty sure they will this too. So there will be other avenues to see this if you don't make it to the premiere.
Fabulous. Yeah. What an exciting opportunity for Northfield. Thank you, Matt Gimsey, Paul Krause, for being a part of Artsany Radio today. Just my pleasure. I think we're going to change some minds and open the world up to some better, more gratitude and peace and kindness.
No.
Folks, this is Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. Thanks for tuning in. Please remember to add some Art Zany to your life and enjoy your imagination.